I never thought that 2012 will come so soon. What about you? It's like this year started like a couple months ago. It's all almost gone. I'm not so happy because recently I have a birthday. You know, I have to cross and put another number there in my age. I'm not happy when the years are going so fast. I would like a little bit to drag them down, back. Like our daughter, when she was 12, 13, she always wanted to be older. Older. When she became 20, 21, she started realizing that she's getting older. And she said, Dad, I would like to be again 17. I said, you know, I said to you earlier, don't go too fast. But that's life. That's life. And I'm sorry to hear about Russell that recently I visited his sister. He got sister in Highwood, Portland, and she told us that Russell visited her and that he's not well, and you know, even mentioned, well, we are going to see each other again on this earth. We know that we can't expect things to last forever. We got a couple, I can say, physically ill people in Warrnambool as well. One of, you know, Bert Shepherd is not well as well, and his wife had operation recently, and you know, unfortunately, when we see especially our pioneers, all the folks who are serving the Lord so faithfully, things are going through, their bodies not well, we always, you know, struggling to see things. But what we can do, we have to keep them in our prayers. Maybe the body is going down, may the spirit and spirituality improve. Because we know sooner or later we are going to go to rest if Jesus doesn't come before that. And but there is a hope, there is a faith that we are going to see again each other. That makes big difference, you know. And Paul says we are not said like others. We have a hope. We have a coming of Jesus Christ. Last Sabbath, with my wife, we went to Avondale College. We had a good Sabbath there, Friday night, Saturday and Sunday. The reason was a graduation. My wife, she was a student for the last few years, and she graduated. She received her master's degree in ministry on Sunday. 266 students there, and many nurses, many teachers, many other graduates, PhD. For the first time, Avondale offered a PhD or doctorate. And that's the first graduate doctor of philosophy, German one. And he's a young fellow. This is a second PhD. He had one in Leipzig in Germany. You can see, young people are very enthusiastic, some of them. And it was a great ceremony. And we had the main key speaker was a lady, Elle, I think, from America. She's one of the vice presidents of the General Conference. She had very good message, especially to the graduates about the faithfulness, about, because they have chosen the text from Micah 6:8b, you know, what God is expecting from you, to be merciful, to be kind, to be this, to be, and she's entitled to be or not to be. It's our choice, in our choice. But just to say that we had a good, very blessed weekend in Coronbonk and Avondale with so many friends. Many students, parents, and there was a great crowd. Okay, this morning I would like to speak about forgiveness. Have you experienced forgiveness in your life recently? Have you done something in your life and somebody has forgiven you? What about you? Have you forgiven to somebody recently? Or you're surrounded always with good people? You've never been tempted to forgive or not. Let's open the Bible. At the beginning, we are going to read a few scripture references. From Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7 are one sermon that Jesus preached. Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, 14 to 15. Very well known verses from the scripture. 6, 14 and 15. Jesus says, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Okay? Another text in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Paul speaks. There's so many references. I've chosen just a few of them. Colossians chapter 3, 12 and 13. Colossians chapter 3, 12 and 13. I'm reading from NIV. 12 and 13. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Another text from Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, 32. Chapter 4, 32. Similar thoughts. Paul says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. It's not difficult to see what the Bible wants to say to us. What is the most common word present in those three references? What is the most common word? Forgiveness. Forgive each other as your Father. Always point to the Father. Always. As a good example. Because we're struggling. How much we forgive whom? Why forgiving others is so important, according to Jesus and Apostle Paul and many other authors. We can read whole afternoon about forgiveness. So much. But the Bible is saturated with the message about forgiveness. Forgiveness which God forgive us, but in this sense it's more forgiving to each other. It's relationship as a people. Why forgiving others is so important? There is a many questions people ask me in my ministry when I ask them to forgive or they were hurt by somebody. I would like to ask, is anyone ever beyond forgiveness? Is anyone ever beyond forgiveness? Can somebody done something which they can't be forgiven? Is there a means of measure by which we determine how much we forgive whom? You know, Peter was one time, he asked how much to forgive. You don't want to go into many details. There's so many stories about that. But when we ask people to forgive, many of them will give or trying to give 100 reasons against forgiveness. Some of them will say, he needs to learn a lesson. I'm not going to forgive straight away. No way. He needs a little bit to suffer in order to learn a lesson. Some other people will say, I don't want to encourage irresponsible behavior. For that reason, I'm not going to forgive. Or other people, she needs to learn that actions have consequences. She can't do just whatever she wants and now just that forgiving and no. Or other will say, I was a wrong party. It is not up to me to make the first move. He can. How can I forgive if he is not even sorry? Have you heard that comment? He has to come. She has to come and apologize. I'm still waiting. I remember one person. He said, I'm still waiting. According to the Bible, to forgive to somebody is not an option. It is God's command. Christians have no monopoly on forgiveness. How much to forgive and to whom? It's a command. What is the opposite of forgiveness? What is the opposite of forgiveness? Unforgiveness, yes. They just put UN and it's condemnation or even vengeance. Vengeance. Somebody says vengeance is a passion to get even. It is a hot desire to give back as much pain as someone gave you. The problem with revenge is that it never gets what it wants. It never evens the score. Fairness never comes. The chain reaction set off by every act of vengeance always takes its unhindered course. It ties both the injured and the injurer to an escalator of pain. Both are stuck on the escalator as long as parity is demanded, and the escalator never stops, never lets anyone off. Vengeance, it's opening another step, another chapter. It's never ending. I know one small country in Europe who never forgave the previous generation, the forefathers. If, you know, in certain cultures, there is a certain thing. If somebody has done something wrong to your father, then you remember as a child and you're waiting for opportunity to revenge. And then the new generation are doing this, passing that vengeance spirit to the next generation. They are never, you know, they're trying to forgive them, to remember, never to forget. If you don't have that spirit of forgiveness in our heart, then the spirit of vengeance will take place, which will destroy not the other so much like the person with that kind of spirit. Mahatma Gandhi said, if everyone followed the eye for the eye principle of justice, eventually the whole world go blind. I would like this morning just to mention three reasons for forgiveness. Why we have to forgive? Jesus didn't explain all the reasons. Maybe he explained, the author that didn't put everything in the Bible. John says, is everything what Jesus says is in the Bible? Wow, will be Bible, enormous book. And you have to give to somebody to read. He said, thank you very much. I can't spend, you know, half of my life or reading the book because it's so much. For that reason, God has chosen certain references there. But we can find foundation for all these reasons. There is at least three reasons for forgiveness. I will try to highlight this. Reason number one. Forgiveness alone can halt or cut the cycle of blame and pain, breaking the chain of ungrace. In the New Testament, the most common Greek word for forgiveness means literally to release, to hurl away, to free yourself. The word in Greek language to forgive means to release yourself, to be free. Maybe you got something in your mind when you struggle to forgive. Somebody has done something wrong to you and you couldn't flip. I remember, even my father, I remember when I was a child, he had after church certain discussion. You know, sometimes we are tend to discuss the sermon and how to apply. We are starting to move to other things. And word by word, and I think somebody, my father thought that everything was okay, but when he came home, he started thinking and he felt the Holy Spirit is telling him that maybe the other party was a little bit offended by his comment. But if I haven't, I was right, he said, you know, in his mind. You know that the Holy Spirit is trying to convince you, but we try to convince the Holy Spirit that we are doing wrong. That's a battle in our mind. And he went to sleep Saturday evening, but still, you know, not enough peace in his mind that everything was right. He said, no, I can't continue night like that. It was pretty late. He went, he changed the pajamas, he went on this brother's door and knocked on the door and said, sorry, I can't sleep. I have feeling that I offended you today with my comment and I want to apologize. You know, maybe you have experience like my father in your life. Because forgiveness alone, when you forgive, you are cutting the cycle of blame and pain and breaking the chain of ungrace, you feel free. I admit that forgiveness is unfair. Somebody is spreading lies about you, about your children, about your integrity, and now you are called as a Christian to forgive. How come? Is it justice? Is it fair? God, what is asking from you to do something? I have to say, forgiveness, it's not about fairness. Hinduism, with its doctrine of karma, provides a far more satisfying sense of fairness. Hindu scholars have calculated with mathematical precision how long it may take for one person's justice to work itself out, for punishment to balance out all my wrongs in this life and future lives. And they came to 6,800,000 incarnations should be enough. 8,800,000 incarnations to become the forgiveness to become fair. One of the places when forgiveness is necessary or can be present or not, it's a marriage or the home. Every day is a place where forgiveness is supposed to take place almost every day. The marriage. How many times the only thing, the problem will be solved just if one party say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? But sometimes it's so difficult to say those two or three words, especially in your marriage, in your home. Why so many people are separating? Not because of who knows what, but not one person or other was not willing to say a sorry or apologize. Am I right? Or I'm wrong. Gabriel Marquez portrays a marriage that disintegrates over a bar of soap. Not who knows what, just a bar of soap. What's happening? It was the wife's job to keep the house in order, including provision of towels, toilet paper, and soap in the bathroom. But one day she forgot to replace the soap. An oversight that her husband mentioned in an exaggerated way. I've been batting for almost a week without any soul. Sometimes we can, you know, say like that. And she vigorously denied. Although it turned out that she had indeed forgotten, her pride was at stake and she would not back down. For the next 7 months, they slept in separate rooms and ate in silence. Just because of the bar of soap. That's a human pride or power or whatever. How can a bar of soap ruin a marriage? Because nobody was willing to say, stop, this cannot go on, I'm sorry, forgive you, and everything will be okay. But that's human heart. Why have to say, I'm okay, I'm right, it is not my fault. François Mauriac tells a similar story of an old man who spent the last 10 years of marriage sleeping down the hall from his wife. Do you know what the reason was? A rift had opened 30 years before over whether the husband showed enough concern when their 5-year-old daughter fell ill. Now neither husband nor wife is willing to take the first step. Every night she waits for her to approach him, but she never appears. Every night she lays awake waiting for him to approach her, and he never appears. Neither will break the cycle that began years before, neither will forgive. And they spent 10 years living separate, sleeping separate. Mary Kerr tells a story of her uncle from Texas who reminded Mary to his wife but did not speak to her for 40 years. Worse and worse cases. After a fight over how much money she spent on sugar. One day he took a saw, electrical, and sawed the house exactly in half, the timber house. He nailed up planks to cover the raw sides and moved one of the house behind on the block and on the same acre. There are two people lived out the rest of their days in separate half houses for 40 years. Is it possible? But it is possible. Because no one wanted to halt, to break the cycle of blame. Nobody was willing to take a step and say, forgive. I know the churches could split because of unforgiving spirit. I know. Not that marriages. Forgiveness does not settle all questions of blame and fairness, but it does allow a relationship to start over, to begin anew. Forgiveness offers a way out. It's not solving all the problems, but giving a new chance, a new beginning. Sometimes I wonder and imagine a world with no forgiveness. What will happen if every child bore grudges against his or her parents and every family passed down to future generations? Who would like to live in that country when everybody has something against somebody? Everybody great opportunity to blame somebody to do that's a very difficult. Sometimes it's happening, unfortunately. I remember a woman, okay, we can call her Margaret. She had a son. He was a teenager. He was a disobedient son. Yes, I have to say. But she had enough. They couldn't sit anymore for 5 minutes in the same room. Straight away the problem will start. And accusations. And one day she had enough. He said, go away. Disappear from my home. And Michael, he disappeared. He left the house. He never came back. But Margaret yielded. Margaret was sorry later on in her heart. But she didn't have a courage to call him or to invite him or to apologize. Michael had that courage as well. Whenever Margaret heard the name Michael somewhere, something happened in her heart. But she never had the courage to apologize, to call. They lived separate. They haven't seen each other for the whole life because of that accident in the home. The Jewish philosopher Hannah Arendt said, the only remedy for the inevitability of history is forgiveness. Otherwise, we remain trapped in the predicament of irreversibility. Not to forgive imprisons us in the past and locks out all potential for change. Louis Smith said, the first and often the only person to be healed by forgiveness is the person who does the forgiveness. When we genuinely forgive, we set a prisoner free and then discover that the prisoner we set free was us. Usually, why we are not forgiving? Because we think that we are doing favor of other person. Forgetting that we are doing favor of myself. For ourselves. You are free. You can go. You can sleep. You can, because you've done your part. You're not doing favor for the other person. You'll see, you're doing favor as well. But in the first moment, you are free. But also, the second point, we will see, also we are helping other person by forgiving. You give him an opportunity to start over. When we cannot forgive or ask for forgiveness, we are in bondage. We are locked. We hold the key to unlock to the chain of the heavy metal ball around our leg that we drag daily. When we are not forgiving, we don't have a forgiving spirit, we are walking like chain in that memory, in that hurt. But we are forgiving, we are releasing that ball, we are free, we can go, we can look right in the eyes of somebody without any remorse, because we are free. we are forgiven. Joseph, from the Bible, Joseph, you know, he had a brother. One day they've done very wrong to him. You know what's happened. They tried to kill him. He hasn't done nothing. What was the guiltness? If he done as a child, was, you can't compare with the desire to kill somebody. They didn't kill, but they sold. They betrayed his brother. There was a time when God turned circumstances in Joseph ups and down, and sudden he becomes somebody and all other become nobodies. And in just, I would like to point this in Genesis 41:51. Let's go to Genesis 41:51. Just to highlight what we just said. First point, why forgiveness is important. Genesis 41:51. Joseph has a reason for to venge himself, to repay all the deeds because what they have their brother done to him. He was not thinking about the fairness. They never come and apologize to him. 41:51, what the Bible says here. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, "It is because God had made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household." Joseph called his firstborn Manasseh, what means one who causes to be forgotten. You know, Joseph was a human like you and me. He had the feelings. He experienced the pain. He was hurt. But he became over all these feelings. And when his son was born, he gave the name which can remind him about that he has forgotten to his brothers. Joseph was sold by his brothers. And before he came to Egypt, Joseph made a decision to forgive them. Forgiveness can break the chain of ungrace and locks out all potential for change. Joseph met his brothers with open face. No remorse, no pain, no let they suffer. No, they deserved it. No, he forgave them. When they feel uncomfortable, he said, "Well, who is going, what he's going to do?" He said, "Don't think about those thoughts. I, long time ago, I forgave you." If you read the scripture, you'll see Joseph say, "I'm not here. I've got the power, but I'm not here to punish you. I forgave you long time ago, before you came here. My heart is free from any negative emotions towards you." Joseph, break the cycle of blame, of pain. He set himself free and also gave opportunity the brothers to be set free. Because when you offend somebody, you know that you're not feel good. Admit, like my father, you feel that something is not good. You try to cover, you try to explain, to excuse yourself, but you know that things are not well. The second great power of forgiveness is that forgiveness can loosen the stranglehold of guilt in the perpetrator. Can loosen the stranglehold of guilt in the perpetrator. Because when the person says something, do something wrong, Holy Spirit is telling, and sometimes we don't have enough strength to repent or to ask for forgiveness, and we are locked in a guilt. We have guilty conscience. Guilt is present here, and that guilt can destroy you physically, emotionally, and spiritually as well. Sherry Peters, you know, Sherry Peters is one of the ladies. She's going everywhere to help people how to get rid of the guilt, how to forgive to those who offended you, even to those who abused. Because there is abuse physically, emotionally, spiritually, verbally, in many different ways. And many people, they can't live, you know, with that anymore, with that guilt which is present. Doesn't matter you are an abused person, because usually when they say that the person who is abused feel anger and also guilt, maybe they very reason why they, some people have done wrong to them, and always criticizing themselves. They don't have a power to overcome that kind of feelings. But forgiveness can loosen the stronghold of guilt in the perpetrator. Guilt does its corrosive work even when consciously repressed. When we try to cover, the guilt can destroy us physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. I got a story here about man in America who made confession to his wife after 30 years living in denial. He repressed his conscience. He was involved in the killing a black man, throwing him from the bridge, but not enough reasons to be convinced he was free. He always behaved like innocent, but he knew that he is guilty. He lived 30 years with guilty conscience until one day he was sick. He was facing death. He called his wife and he admitted to his wife that he was one of that group who threw that black man through the bridge and participated in killing him. And Alexander's wife, that was Alexander, wrote a letter of apology to the black man's widow. She wrote, "Henry, my husband, lived in a lie all his life, and he made me live it too. He showed no outward sign of remorse until the last days of his life, too late to attempt public restitution. Some people are living for years in denying. They try to cover the guilt or the things which they've done and stay to get freedom." Louis Smith's forgiveness called spiritual surgery. He said, when you forgive someone, you slice away wrong from the person who did it. You disengage that person from his harmful act. You recreate him. At one moment you identify him inevitably as the person who did you wrong. The next moment you change that identity. He is remade in your memory. You think of him now as the person who hurt you, but the person who needs you. You can see that's a process. You feel him not as the person who alienated you, but as a person who belongs to you. Once you branded him as a person powerful in evil, but now you see him as a person weak in his needs. You recreated your past by recreating the person whose wrong made your past painful. Forgiveness changed our conception. It's healing us. Forgiveness, undeserved, unearned, can cut the cords and let the oppressive burden of guilt roll away. Roll away. Maybe that was one of the reasons why Jesus offered that kind of forgiveness to Peter. Remember when they have a last meal together, sitting around the fireplace, and Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? How many times? Why three times? Three times denied. He knew how Peter felt. He knew that something is happening. He saw that Peter was crying after that in the garden. The Bible doesn't say that Peter came after that and apologized to Jesus. The Bible is quiet about that. But says that Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me? Jesus offered forgiveness to Peter in order to help Peter to get rid of the guilty conscience. To give him the opportunity to Peter to start all over again. Jesus offered forgiveness to Peter. Peter need not to go through life with the guilty one who has betrayed the Son of God. Forgiveness breaks the cycle of blame and loosens the stronghold of guilt. Rebecca was a quiet woman. She was a married lady. She was a Christian. She thought that she got good marriage. Her husband was a businessman, very often away. But unfortunately, he was unfaithful to her. Many times, she was with other women. And she found out about that. Sometimes her husband admitted, sometimes not. She didn't know what to do. But he started seeing more often another woman, Julian. It was a very painful time for Rebecca. Time of humiliation and rejection. Rebecca had the increasing sense that unless something do, and one day she couldn't help much trying to explain to her husband. Husband left her with Janine, and she became lonely, alone. She was a Christian. She was hurt. She was humiliated and rejected. 4 months she prayed to the Lord, Lord, what to do? I'm suffering. You know, I feel very low. Bitterness in my heart. I can't go on and on like that. I can't sleep even during night. But God has answered to her prayers. God helped her through the Holy Spirit to find a solution. And one night God says to her, call your former husband and say that you forgive him. She took the phone. It was not easy. She called him ex-husband. She was thinking maybe she will say first what he deserved. But finally she came to the place of letting God to determine what he deserved. That night called her husband. In a shaky, strained voice, she said, I want you to know that I forgive you what you have done to me. And I forgive Julian too for taking my husband. Ex-husband laughed on her apology, unwilling to admit he had done anything wrong. Despite of that, Rebecca get past her bitter feelings and she start a new life, free from bitterness. That apology maybe hasn't changed much in her ex-husband's behavior, but changed a lot to her. She was free. In June 1973, Mariette Jäger went camping in the national park, in one of the national parks in Canada with her husband and their 5 children. As they slept in their tent one night, their 7-year-old daughter Susie was kidnapped. Marietta, that was the lady, suffered all pain and emotional turmoil you would expect in such situation. A few weeks later, her daughter was found dead not far away from the park. Imagine the heart of that mom. 7 years old daughter. What she has done to deserve that kind of ending. As every human, you had that feelings of anger and vengeance to do something, to punish, to somebody to experience what they deserve. She couldn't sleep as well because she didn't know which way to go. One night when she couldn't sleep, she heard God was telling her, Marietta, I don't want you to feel this way. You have to let things go. That night, she said in her testimony, she decided to forgive whoever has done these evil things to her daughter. She was released by her anger and fighting path to forgiveness. Today, Marietta is traveling around the country, speaking about forgiveness, sharing her experience. She said, if you remain vindictive, you give the offender another victim. Anger, hatred, and resentment would have taken my life as surely as Susie's life was taken if I haven't forgiven that person. And the third reason why Jesus says to forgive, forgiveness is opening a way to God to forgive our sins. It's connecting. Jesus is putting together forgiving to others with forgiving, opening the way God to forgive us. In Matthew 6:12, you know that prayer, Jesus' prayer, Our Father. There is one part very difficult. I've been many times when people have some things, problems, and I pray together. I was asking that person to pray that person, and many of them, they couldn't pray that part. Because Jesus says, and forgive us. What your Bible says? As, or that as, make big difference. As we forgive our debtors. Forgive us, the Lord, as we forgive to others. If we are not forgiving to others, then how God is going to forgive us? On what basis? No word in English carries a greater possibility of terror than the word, this little word as, in that clause. What makes the as so terrifying? The fact that Jesus plainly links our forgiveness by the Father with our forgiveness of fellow human beings. If we are not ready to break the chain of ungrace and halt the cycle of blame and pain, and we are not ready to forgive, then neither God will break chain of our ungrace and will not forgive our sins. George Herbert says, "He who cannot forgive breaks the bridge over which he himself must pass." How we can reach God if the bridge is broken? By our unforgiving spirit. My dear brothers and sisters, it's not easy to forgive when you hurt. I know children. They don't want to see their parents anymore because they've been hurt by the parents. Daniela is visiting still after Sherry Peters when she was in vulnerable. Three young ladies every Wednesday. They were hurt. They experienced things. For that reason they came to the Women's Ministry Retreat as well to find comfort. From that moment they start new life. There is a process how Sherry is when offer how you can be able to forgive to others. Because there is a certain things. It's not so easy. It's easy to say, but you know, but that's only way how we can release ourselves. For the spiritual growth, for the physical and mentally, we have to forgive. It is one thing to get caught up in a cycle of ungrace with a spouse or business partner, and another thing to get caught in such a cycle with Almighty God. As we can allow ourselves to let go, to break the cycle, to start over, God can allow Himself to let go, break the cycle, start over. Just to finish with a couple of verses from the scripture. Okay? Just a couple. Matthew 11. I would like the new year to bring different spirit in our heart. If we had something in our heart, it's difficult. Let's release from the heart. Let's move with a clear conscience, with forgiving spirit. Matthew 11. Eleven twenty-five and twenty-six. At that time Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure." I have to read from Matthew. It's my mistake. Mark 11. You can see that something. Mark 11. 25 and 26. My mistake. Mark 11. 25 to 26. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father on heaven may forgive you your sins. Okay? Whenever you pray, let's clear the way in order God to forgive you. Otherwise, our prayers are going to the ceiling, nothing further. Doesn't matter what kind of prayer you can have, the sweet words, you can use all quotations of the Bible, all the statements of Ellen White are not going to go further than the ceiling. You can't bribe God with your repetition, with your well behavior, with your, God says, when you're in prayer, if you hold against, it's going to stop. Matthew 18, 32 to 35. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all the owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. You know, this is the conclusion of the story. God is merciful God. I'm so happy that we are serving that kind of God. And we have to be proud because we know that God. And God is offering forgiveness. But also, God says, I'm willing to forgive. But are you willing to forgive to your fellow brother? I'm willing to forgive you 10 billion, 2 billion of that. Imagine. Are you willing to forgive those couple doors to your fellow brother? But sometimes it's so difficult. Sometimes we can try all kinds of excuses. It wasn't my fault. But is it not fair? It's fair. Not fair. It's not about fairness. It's about God. If God was waiting for us first, in order to forgive us, how long should wait? Eternity will be too short. But He showed His mercy before and opened the way. May that grace of forgiveness which we have experienced in our life, at least part of that grace, let's be blown to the heart of your fellow brother and sister. Let's live as brothers and sisters, as we say, without any pain, without any guilt, without anything which can divide us. And may God bless us and help us. Sometimes we can struggle, but all things are possible if we allow the Spirit to lead us. May God bless you all. Amen. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege to be able to come this morning in your church to worship you. Thank you, Lord, for the many privileges you blessed us during this year. Lord, so many things happen in the world, in Australia, in our neighborhood, in this 2011. And we are still alive, Lord, in good shape. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your care. Thank you for listening to our prayers. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for the angels, guardians, who have been with us day and night, tirelessly, looking after us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit which was prompting us which way to go. Thank you for many good decisions we made because you help us, Lord. But also, please forgive us if we've done something which we hurt you, or we hurt some of our fellow brothers and sisters. Thank you for calling us this morning to have that forgiven heart, Lord. We are ready to forgive your forgiveness as well, and we are ready to forgive to others as well. Help us, Lord, in the new year to grow more spiritually, to continue our walk with you, Thank you that help us, Lord, the mistakes that we've done this year never to be repeated again. And maybe be one step closer to your coming, which we are looking forward very soon. Thank you, Lord, for this lovely church here and for brothers and sisters who are faithfully preserving you. Be with them and protect them and guide them, Lord, until you come. And we will be again united in your glory to spend eternity with you. That's our desire, Lord, and we pray all these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.